Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. We have a few messages directly from the City of Kingston this evening. To start us off, a reminder that the University District Safety Initiative remains in effect this week, running nightly through November 3rd. The initiative aims to keep celebrations safe and respectful in Kingston's University District during the busy fall season. Residents can expect to see increased police and bylaw presence, and anyone caught hosting or participating in a nuisance party could face penalties, up to $2,000 for hosting and $500 for failing to comply with orders to leave a property. The city says the program has been successful over the years in balancing celebration and safety. Kyle Compo, the city's director of licensing and enforcement, states, quote, "We encourage students and guests to avoid high-risk behaviors and reckless partying that could result in fines or put unnecessary strain on emergency services," end quote. Gord Edgar Downey Pier and Breakwater Park Beach will also be closed nightly from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. until November 2nd. The City of Kingston is joining neighboring municipalities to explore more via rail service between Toronto and Kingston, including a possible late-night train. The initiative is part of a regional survey launched today by Kingston, Port Hope, Cobourg, and Belleville to gauge community interest in expanding passenger rail options. Mayor Brian Patterson states, quote, "Passenger rail is one of the key transportation options that keep Kingston and all Eastern Ontario communities connected." The survey will help determine whether there's enough demand to advocate for new service times. This new survey is the next step in a push that started right at City Hall. Kingston City Council called on Via Rail to not only preserve service to the city, but look at expanding it. You can head to the city's website at cityofkingston.ca to have your say on a possible Toronto-Kingston late-night train. At their last meeting, City Council debated a motion that could see the designation of playgrounds as child safety zones. The motion, brought forward by Councillor Connie Glenn, asked staff to look at potential amendments to the city's parks bylaw and community standards bylaw to create child safety zones or sensitive use zones within 50 meters of public playgrounds, schools, daycares, splash pads, and organized children's sports fields. These zones would prohibit the erection of temporary shelters, the possession or use of drug consumption paraphernalia, and open-air drug use in those areas.
Bringing this motion was something that took me a while to come around to, and it's in response to what have been real concerns over the last 3 years, particularly from parents about drug paraphernalia in parks and playgrounds. But I also have brought this in response to what's an ongoing crisis that we don't really talk about in the same way anymore. We talk about vulnerable persons, but what we're not talking about is that we have an ongoing drug crisis. We have an opioid crisis, and we need to be considering that our community and our environment has changed drastically. What we're seeing are things in playgrounds that children don't understand. And even the smallest exposures can be toxic and life-threatening to children. So small amounts left on paraphernalia can have a huge health impact on children, long-lasting. And we've seen cases of this in other municipalities. There were reports in Ottawa, a two-year-old who actually was found with a needle in their mouth. I want to quote from actually the AMO report in 2024 on this situation in our cities, and that the pathway forward on the opioid crisis cannot be a debate between public safety and public health. It must be a balanced approach. There is no healthy community that isn't also safe, and there is no safe community where people aren't also healthy. So this is about striking a balance, about recognizing that children truly are among the most vulnerable in our society, and that even despite our best efforts to monitor parks, we are creating a situation where parents are afraid and concerned, and we are duty-bound to represent all of our constituents, the smallest to those in the most difficulty, and this creates a clear understanding of the expectations. So I hope you see this as a motion that is about harm reduction for children, about clear boundaries for everyone in the community.
Currently, the Parks and Community Standards bylaws regulate activities in public spaces to a certain degree. But this motion looks to expand upon that. For example, the Community Standards bylaw as it stands prohibits drug paraphernalia within 15 meters of a playground, but there are no broader safe zone designations. Glenn pointed to other Ontario municipalities, including St. Catharines, Sarnia, and Greater Napanee, that have introduced similar public space regulations. However, the motion drew concern from local residents and councillors alike. Kingston resident Christine Bedard spoke before council against adding new bylaw provisions.
I'd like you to indulge me for a moment and imagine my grandchildren running across the park, laughing as they chase each other, climbing on the playgrounds, playing with the equipment and or skipping along a trail. I watch them closely because I want them to be safe. But I also know that sometimes, even when we're careful, children sometimes stumble and fall. When that happens, I want them to be met with care and support, not punishment. That same compassion should extend to everyone in our city. What helped me was compassion, not fines or exclusion zones. What helped me was people who saw my worth and lifted me up. Criminalizing homelessness doesn't create safety. It drives people further into isolation and despair. I want to live in a city where compassion, support, inclusion guide our actions, where every person is given a chance to rise even after they've fallen.
Councillors also noted several practical and legal challenges. City staff detailed how fines often fail to deter behavior if people are unwilling or unable to pay them. Bylaw enforcement and Kingston Police have also both faced resource limitations, and following through consistently on such measures would be difficult. But the biggest obstacle came from a 2023 Ontario Superior Court decision. The ruling in the Bell Park encampment case found Kingston's bylaw banning overnight sheltering unconstitutional, violating the charter rights of unhoused residents. Council's legal team warned that any new restrictions concerning people sheltering in public spaces could conflict with the existing court orders from Justice Ian Carter or trigger a new charter challenge. For this reason, Councillors Ridge and Brandon Tozo, among others, could not support the motion.
There is a significant problem when it comes to drug paraphernalia being left at children's playgrounds. That's something that I deal with all the time. I was talking to a dad who found four crack pipes at Friendship Park last week. As you can imagine, he was very happy about that when he was taking his children out. I feel that there's a lot of potential legal risk with moving forward with this motion as it currently exists. I do want to finish by saying that I really respect the intention of the mover and the seconder. I have these difficult conversations with parents all the time. And I do think that one of the many things that are required for this is additional accountability. But I question that it's within our ability as a municipality to provide that.
When we got that ruling from the court, it basically said that charter protections allow people to shelter overnight in public parks, and that is protected, and the city has followed those charter-related protections. I want to also highlight the fact, I went to Third Avenue Park this weekend with my two kids, and there was an encampment about 30 meters away from, well, 10 meters away from Third Avenue Park. So I live this. This is in my district. I live this every day. I get where this is coming from. I just think we're opening ourselves up to a very significant charter challenge based on the reading of this motion, based on not allowing encampments overnight in public parks. I get where the community is at. I get wanting to protect kids, but I can't open up the city to liability. I don't think that's in our broader public interest as council. Because of that reasoning, I cannot support this motion. Thank you.
Still, some councillors, including Councillor Jeff McLaren, who seconded the motion, and Councillor Gary Osterhoff, felt the concept deserved further consideration.
Let's hear, get all the facts. We're not making a decision on the bylaw at this point. City staff will come back with a plan and a recommendation. That recommendation might be, let's not do this. But if we don't get all the information, then we are guessing based on presumptions that may not be true.
I think we have an obligation when it comes to child safety. I think that this I'm going to thank the mover and the seconder for framing it this way, which gives us opportunity to look at it and to bring light to it and to put best practices together. I think that's good governance, and we ought to support this.
After nearly an hour of discussion, Councillor Connie Glenn amended her motion, hoping to give staff more flexibility to bring back recommendations.
You know, we're not at the stage of contemplating a bylaw, but I do think that we need to move forward with giving consideration for what we're going to do in this very changed world that we're living in. And I don't think that this is out of order. Other municipalities are moving this direction because we aren't making headway.
But some councillors were still not convinced. Councillors Ryan Boehm and Tozo suggested she withdraw it and return later with a revised version.
We've heard all the concerns. We've looked at them. We've heard the concerns from legal. We're now trying to fix this on the floor, sort of at the last minute. That that's not the right way to go about this. So I'm not going to support the amendment. I'm not going to support the motion as it stands unamended either. My advice to the mover would be to withdraw it at this time, to go back to speak with legal, and to come up with a better plan to move this forward. Because I think everybody around this table understands what you're trying to do, but the approach here has not been the right way to do it. And we are going to end up with a can of worms and a whole bunch of unintended consequences, which I don't think anybody wants.
I just want to echo Councillor Boehm. I think that the intent behind this, I think there's good stuff here. I think it would be just worthwhile to withdraw this motion and come back with something that, after speaking to legal and bylaw and police, and do a little bit more work on that regard. I'm not going to support this as it is, and I'm not going to support the motion.
Mayor Brian Patterson also urged Glenn to withdraw the motion and take more time to find middle ground.
I actually want to thank you for tackling this issue. It's a very sensitive, it's a very challenging, very difficult issue. You make reference to the fact that there are other communities across the province that have tried to do this, right? And institute a public spaces bylaw of some kind to regulate sensitive uses. I actually think that there's real value in that. So I don't necessarily share some of the concerns around the table. If you feel that this is something that you would like to go forward as current side, I think the concerns that I have would probably hold me back, but I'm hoping that regardless of what happens tonight, that we continue to work on this. Again, there's no perfect solution to this, but I do get what you're trying to do, and I think there's value to it. So I'm just going to say that, but just again, just expressing those certain concerns, perhaps a motion to defer might be a good way to kind of explore some common grounds.
In the end, Councillor Glenn withdrew the motion, acknowledging council's concerns.
So I had hoped that we could move this forward this evening. But given the overwhelming concerns coming forward and understanding that if I proceed right now, the situation that we're going to be in is that I can't bring this and none of us can bring this again for a year. So I think that that's unfair, because really what we're doing here is we're going to go ahead and get all of that advice, and it would be brought to us. So I will withdraw the motion.
However, she did give notice that she intends to bring back a revised version in the near future, one that could balance community safety and legal obligations more effectively. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Henry Walker with your campus news for this week.
Thank you, Chris. This is Henry with CFRC's Campus Beat, bringing you Queen's Campus News. This past weekend just marked Queen's annual FOCO, that's Fake Homecoming. As with previous years, the FOCO weekend has been accompanied by the enforcement of the University District Safety Initiative, or UDSI, a collaborative program between the Kingston City Police, City of Kingston, and Queen's University. The initiative is designed to promote community safety and reduce disruptions in the University District during high traffic periods, such as homecoming, fake homecoming, St. Patrick's Day, Halloween, and many more. Under the UDSI, individuals in the University District charged with certain provincial and municipal offenses, such as public intoxication, noise violations, and those contained within the nuisance party bylaws, may have their information shared with Queen's University for possible review under the Student Code of Conduct. The city and university may enforce additional monetary penalties on individuals charged under the UDSI, such as an hourly fee of $90 for each police officer or firefighter responding to calls. The UDSI is in effect from October 17th homecoming weekend, through November 2nd, Halloween weekend. For some around campus, the placement of Queen's Homecoming directly following the university's fall reading week leaves a lot to be desired. With many students out of the city during that time, the incentive to return for homecoming simply does not exist. Instead, some choose to celebrate the following weekend, a trend that's helped create what we may refer to as FOCO, or fake homecoming. This back-to-back period of parties and celebrations has, in effect, stretched the student social session through the second half of October, from homecoming right through to Halloween. For the university and the city of Kingston, that means an extended period of heightened activity and enforcement, thus providing us with the UDSI, or University District Safety Initiative, as well as many of the nuisance party bylaws that remain in place throughout much of the academic year. While these measures aim to prevent disruptive street parties, some students feel that the scheduling of homecoming itself contributes to the issue. Having an event immediately after reading week leaves little time for students to return, prepare, and participate in official sanctioned homecoming activities, leading many to organize separate celebrations later, i.e. FOCO. Others argue that moving homecoming a week later could help boost attendance at sanctioned events and ease the pressure on both the student and the community. As October winds down and the academic year continues, this debate also moves forward. Is the back-to-back timing of reading week a homecoming schedule coincidence, or is it a catalyst of this growing fall party period? Again, this has been Henry Walker bringing you Queen's Campus News on CFRC's Campus Beat.
This is the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Monday, October 27th, daytime high of 9 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud dropping down to 2 overnight. Tuesday, October 28th, a little warmer, 11 degrees with an overnight low of 2, mostly sunny conditions during the day. Wednesday, October 29th, another 11 degree day here in the city of Kingston, that same 2 degree overnight low, mostly cloudy conditions in the forecast. Thursday, October 30th, daytime high of 10 degrees with an overnight low of 6, mostly cloudy conditions. Friday, October 31st, Halloween, 61% chance of precipitation in the morning and afternoon, should clear up for trick-or-treating in the evening, daytime high of 10 degrees, overnight low of 6. So bundle up if you're heading out with the little ones on the 31st. Saturday, November 1st, daytime high of 10, mostly sunny conditions. Sunday, November 2nd, daytime high of 10, mostly rainy conditions, 55% chance of precipitation. And then moving into the start of the first full week of November, Monday, November 3rd, daytime high of 11, overcast with rainy conditions, overnight low of 4 degrees. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We begin with a quick reminder from Public Services and Procurement Canada that the LaSalle Causeway will be closed on Sunday, November 2nd from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. That is closed to all pedestrian and vehicle traffic. In terms of road closures, Aberdeen Street William II Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street Princess and Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Berry Street Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Brass Point Bridge is closed October 29th and 30th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. each day for the replacement of bridge deck planks. Motorists are asked to plan their travel accordingly and to exercise caution in the area. Earl Street Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Kings Court Ave concession to First Ave is closed until November 21st for gas main installation. Ontario Street at Lower Union is closed October 27th at 8 p.m. to October 28th at 4 a.m. for the installation of commemorative crosswalks. Ontario Street at Lower Union is also closed October 29th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the unveiling of commemorative crosswalks. Queen Street, King to Ontario, is closed October 28th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. to complete asphalt restoration. Wellborn Avenue, Chelsea to Everett, is closed October 31st from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. for the Wicked Wellborn Block Party. And Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle, expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Ave, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Ave. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper, expect delays while a contractor completes construction of new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage. Taylor Kidd Boulevard, Collins Bay to Coronation, expect delays beginning October 30th at 7 a.m. to November 7th at 7 p.m. for the replacement of two culverts. Trudell Road, development to Danbury, expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Hey everyone, you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name's Ellie MacArthur, a CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History, and this is your concerts calendar for the week of October 27th to November 2nd. It's time to dive right in. Kingston's live music scene this week is stacked, especially with Halloween just around the corner. On the 29th, Wednesday, catch Viento South, Winnipeg Latin Folk Music at 109 Aldergrove Place starting at 5:30 p.m., Christopher Jackson at the Creekside Bar starting at 6 p.m., Frank Ryan at Musiki starting at 8 p.m. Also on Wednesday at the Slush Puppy Place, catch Foreigner and 54 to 40 at 7:30 p.m. for a rock night with legendary hits. On Thursday, things start to get a bit spooky. The RCHA welcomes Beats Working at 7 p.m. for Blues and Swing. Meanwhile, at Musiki, it's Devil's Night featuring the Man from Hell, Lucanus Pell, a perfect way to kick off the Halloween weekend. If you're down to catch a ferry, Hotel Wolf Island hosts Tallulah Argue at 8:15 p.m. On Friday, it's Halloween! It's time to dress up and rock out. At the Mansion, it's the Haunted Mansion Halloween Bash with Greenwing, the Clay Pigeons, Naked by Nine, Jinx, and Dutch Baby. Five bands, one night, full house, and a crazy costume contest. The show starts at 9 p.m. Musiki hosts Cacaloween with local acts Cacao, Duple, and Willhound with electronic beats and eerie visuals. For classic rock fans, Overtime Sports Bar brings energy with Ambush at 9 p.m. And if you're in the mood for something more family-friendly, Texas Tuxedo plays All Ages Halloween Party at Storington Lions Club Hall at 8 p.m. Also on Friday, Rocket Surgery at the Toucan at 10:30 p.m., Chris Strang at Tiernan Og at 9 p.m., The Oreos at The Merchant at 10:30 p.m., and Halloween Party Fast Forward to Friday at Royal Canadian Legion Branch 560 starts at 7 p.m. On Saturday, at the Broom Factory, Crywank brings their melancholic acoustic sound at 7:30 p.m. At The Spire, catch SOS The ABBA Experience at 7:30 p.m. with sing-alongs and pure nostalgia. Meanwhile, at Hotel Wolf Island, Siobhan Bodrug and Nolan Hubbard start at 6 p.m., followed by Gordon Heavyfoot and Dense Dense at 8. That's a full evening of excellence. Hat Trick plays the RCHA at 8 p.m., Golden Feather at the Toucan at 10 p.m., and a cabaret night with the Isabel Voices at the Tet Center for Creativity and Learning at 7 p.m. After a crazy Halloween weekend, wind down on Sunday with Kate Weeks, Rito Roots at the Broom Factory at 2 p.m., Sundays with Eric and Megan, folk duo at the Cove Inn starting at 5 p.m. Orchestra Kingston presents The Magic of Wind and Brass at The Spire at 2:30 p.m. Kyra at Musiki from 4 to 6. And if you still have a voice after the weekend, Open Mic with Steve G at Timeout Bar starts at 7 p.m. And that's your concerts calendar for this week. Whether you're in the mood for jazz, rock, or something spooky, I hope you heard something that piqued your interest. Thanks so much for joining me. If you have a concert that you'd like to add to our online and on-air events calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Hey everyone, I'm Ellie MacArthur, an intern from the Queen's Department of History, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, and this is your events calendar for the week of October 27th to November 2nd. There's something spooky and something for everyone this week, so let's check it out. On Wednesday, if you miss it the day before, the Housing Resource Fair continues from 6 to 9 p.m. also in the Bioscience Atrium. I'm a firm believer that Wednesday is karaoke day, and there's karaoke everywhere. Jersey Sports Bar at 7, Timeout Bar at 8, and The Mansion at 9 p.m. Thursday is not only Halloween Eve, but it is also the Hushed Haunted House Silent Disco at The Mansion starting at 10 p.m. Karaoke at Tierna and Og starts at 9 p.m., Trivia at Riverhead starts at 7 p.m., and Trivia at Queen's Pub starts at 9 p.m. And this week it's Halloween themed with a costume contest. On Friday, Limestone City Burlesque presents Full Moon Masquerade at the Spire starting at 8 p.m. And on Saturday, Radio Rush, the moving picture story by Live Is All You Need is at Kingston Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. I'm going to absolutely butcher the French, so When Toes Grow Teeth storytelling show is at Le Sesame Theater at 11 a.m. Dads with Jobs at Overtime Sports Bar starts at 9 p.m. Sapphic Frights Queer Halloween Costume Party at Something in the Water starts at 9 p.m. And the Kingston Public Market runs from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To wrap up the weekend, get involved with the community at the 10th Annual Community Celebration of Life at the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest from 1 to 7 p.m., a day to gather, reflect, and celebrate with food, performance, and ceremony. Also on Sunday, Grand on Stage presents Pinkalicious the Musical, aimed for ages 3 to 7 at the Kingston Grand Theater at 2:30 p.m. It's bright, funny, and full of energy. Wow, it's quite the week. But if you've still got stamina and want to close out the weekend on a high, the Toucan hosts Sunday karaoke starting at 10:30 p.m. And that's the events calendar for this week. Whether you're celebrating Halloween, supporting local artists, or catching some live fun with friends, there's always plenty to do around Kingston. If you have an event that you'd like to add to our online and on-air event calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on our Instagram using the link tree in our bio. I'm Ellie MacArthur, and this has been your CFRC events calendar. Have a great week and a happy Halloween.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.